So we could begin by resting on the floor and not above it. Oh yeah, thank you for turning out the light. Great. I think that works. That one can go too if you like. So, note your contact with the floor. Is there anything familiar about that contact? Something unfamiliar, perhaps? How about the way you go about bringing your attention to your contact with the floor? Is that a familiar way of doing that you enacted today, or did you try something new? Or perhaps something stands out that drew your attention? Maybe it's a familiar process and you just began. And regardless, get a sense of the shape of your contact with the floor. And maybe a sense of what that says to you, or how it relates to the rest of your state. How your breathing is. How the two legs rest on the floor behind you. There are differences from side to side. If one foot turns out a little bit more than the other, perhaps is even, for some of us, the outside edge of the foot may even rest against the floor on one side or the other. But regardless, there's likely difference, which reflects difference in the whole system, possibly the hip on one side or the other being a little bit different, the hip joint, how much the upper leg is turned in or out on each side. Or perhaps how that's affected by how the pelvis is a little tipped to the left or right. In turn is perhaps affected or perhaps unaffected by the organization of the low back and the low ribs. And perhaps the whole rib cage. Do you note anything in the way that the rib cage shapes during breathing? Or is your attention drawn more to movements of the abdomen? How about the whole shoulder girdle, including the clavicles in the front? Are they attached to the top of the sternum, the breastbone, and the spatulas, the scapulas behind. And the upper arms. How does that whole of the shoulders and upper chest shape itself so that it rests on the floor the way you find it today? top of the right shoulder a little closer to the floor, or the left? Is there some difference in the way the hands rest on the floor? How they're arranged? Which fingers or knuckles are in contact? Fewer or more on one side or the other? The way the elbow rests, and then how the head rests on the floor. And what you find about the whole neck and trunk in the way that your head rests on the floor. What kind of space is there behind the very upper back and the neck, the low part of the head and the floor. Return to the idea of angles here a little bit. How's the head tilted? A little up, a little down relative to standing. If you imagined you were standing, would you be looking above the horizon or below it? Again, with no sense that you need to correct this, just it's an assessment of your current situation. All right, in particular, bring your attention to the movements of breathing. If there's any movement at all in the rib cage, perhaps the low ribs to the sides, perhaps the sternum coming forward, away from the floor a little bit. Perhaps it's more the belly. Moving forward and maybe even back or down. As the diaphragm moves or is moved. All right, so get a kind of a sense of what your state is like now in a way where you might remember it later or could refer to some aspect of it later, and so that you could note some difference, and come up to sit. Just pause and sitting for a moment and orient yourself this way with the head toward the ceiling more or less, the pelvis on the floor. And now fold the right leg so that the foot comes around back by the right hip. So the inside of the right knee is on the floor. The left leg is long. And then support yourself on the hands too. And in fact, put one hand on either side of the extended left leg. So extend the left leg to the front. And when you see, is it a little rolled to the side or is the back of the knee to the floor? It's okay either way. Just put your hands somewhere on either side of that leg. So the both palms are on the floor, or maybe it's the fingertips on one side. And just sort out that once we start moving, at least, that you can get your hands to the floor on either side of that left leg. So one's to the inside of the leg and one's to the outside. And then maybe you'll imagine this first, and maybe you'll need to adjust the position of the hands, but more or less keeping them to the floor. You can change your hands a little if you need to. Imagine what you need to do to take that left leg out from between your hands and take it to the right of the right hand. And then you can begin to try it out. So the main constraint is that the hands stay more or less on the floor. You might have to move one of your hands, and this may be challenging at first. It's a bit of a puzzler. Then return it. So you take the left foot from between the two hands and then take it to the right of the right hand. first one and then the other, just several times. I'm sorry, the left leg. The right leg stays bent. And you take that, bend and unbend the left leg to take it between the hands. If that's, and then out and off to the right. So the constraints are that the hands stay on the floor, even if you have to lift one temporarily or move it, and the pelvis stays on the floor. Can slide, etc., but let's see what that's like. Maybe it's challenging, maybe it's not. See that you don't hold your breath, and then you make it pretty straightforward. The inside of the right knee stays on the floor. So you take the leg to the inside, from the inside of the hands, from between the hands to outside of the right hand. Even if you have to move one of the hands initially here, we'll sort this out as we go along here. Excuse me. All right, and then leave it for a moment and rest on your back. Sometimes when you rest on the back, it's more like actual rest. Like something was a little challenging, or and you're taking a pause from the effort. Sometimes it's just to leave off your attention to what you're doing. Certainly it allows you to potentially integrate the what you're learning. But now you have the sense in your two hip joints. To the degree that they're clear. I come to sit again. Take the mirrored position with the left leg folded so that the left heel is near the left hip and the inside of the left knee is to the floor. The right leg is long, and place your hands on either side of that extended leg. Then take the right leg out from between the hands and extend it to the outside of the left hand. You see if you have to adjust your hand, maybe lifting the heel away from the floor, or whether you've, if you choose a slightly different configuration of the hands, if you can just do so here, and you return it. I know what's required in the rib cage, the low back, the position of the head to make it kind of easier. Several times you bend the right knee, move the foot out from between the hands and extend it out to the outside of the left hand. So, see, do you, what moves on the floor, what turns, what in the trunk bends or folds? Is it different on the right and left? All right, then pause and rest on your back for a moment. Come to sit again. Return to that first position with the right leg folded and the left leg long. Take your hands to either side of that left leg. And now take the left leg out from between the two hands and extend it to the outside of the left hand. The right leg is folded and the left leg is long. So take that foot out from between the two hands and put it out on the outside of the left hand this time. As unlikely as that may seem, or as simple as that may seem. The pelvis stays more or less on the floor. You don't lift it. The hands stay more or less on the floor, though you may have to at this point lift one or the other. And just see if you can minimize the lifting, or maybe you just lift the heel of the hand away from the floor to make a little more space. Maybe you wiggle a little bit. So maybe just several times, take the foot out from between the hands, moving whatever you need to move the foot. We'll improve on this as we go along. You know, and if you need to kind of simplify it and lift the left hand a little bit or something, that may change over the course of the lesson. See that you can leave maybe the right hand on the floor. The right leg stays folded back. All right, then wherever you are, just switch the folding of the legs so the left leg is folded and the right leg is long. And place your hands on either side of that extended right leg. Do something similar here, where you take the knee and the right foot out from between the two hands, slide it back through the hands, and then out to the outside of the, take the foot to the outside of the right hand. And extend it there. You see if you can find a spot for the hands so that that works, or if you really have to lift one or the other briefly to move the leg through. But you fold it and unfold it. You can see whether you're holding your breath, how much you need to fold the hips or the trunk or adjust the position of the hands so that you can accommodate this movement. And if it's a little tricky, you do these adjustments a little softly. And then rest on your back. So in awareness through movement, there are different pedagogical choices, directions, themes, or strategies maybe. One of them is which you find in some lessons is to present a movement that maybe you find difficult or challenging, and then the lesson goes on from there. Perhaps addressing some of those issues. Some lessons take other directions and start easy and build, etc. So you can find out a little bit about this one as we go along. I come to sitting once again, and fold the right leg behind again and extend the left. Put your hands on either side of that left leg, and this time take the leg through and extend it to the outside of your right hand. And then, instead of taking it back between the hands, take it all the way through and extend it to the outside of the left hand. You see, what do you need to move? What do you need to move on the floor? So the legs folded back behind, if that's comfortable at least. You can adjust that if you need to. So you stick with the general parameters of the lesson. Move your hands a little bit. Lift one or the other if you need to. Really accommodate your own situation. But the general idea is that the foot goes from one side of the hands to the other side of the hands. So once it's extended to the outside of the left hand, and then it's extended to the outside of the right hand, that long left leg. All right, and then switch the position around, fold the left leg behind and extend the right. And take up a similar thing, draw the leg out from between the hands, extend it once to the outside of the left hand or to the right, and then switch it over to the outside of the other hand, whichever one you went to first, move it to the other one. So it goes all the way back and forth from behind the hands out on one side, bending the knee, taking it behind the hands, and taking it out on the other side. How much does each hip turn? How much do you roll over the hips? How much does the low back bend or twist? What happens in the rib cage as you try to make this movement simpler, easier, more coherent? Perhaps you adjust the hands, perhaps you have to lift one or the other, perhaps you have to do something with that folded leg. And then leave it, rest on your back. Note how you rest on the floor here at this point, having done these initial explorations, both of these configurations and movements, and your access to them, how simple they seemed, or how difficult, how clear, or how confusing, whether that changed a little bit as we went. And now roll to your front side. Place your hands in so the palms are to the floor and the elbows are lifted away from the floor, a sort of what we might call a push-up position. Just find a comfortable spot for them there so that the elbows are not in contact with the floor, that the forearms are standing so that you could use the hands here. And now, begin to draw leaving the pelvis on the floor. It can turn. Turn your face to your right, so the left ear is closer to the floor, and begin to draw the right knee up alongside. So the pelvis rolls a little bit, and you draw the left knee up, and then return it. And you see, do you bring it up as far as you can right away, or can you do it gradually? You start with a small movement. Just explore an easier, smaller movement so you don't draw the leg way up. You can gradually make it a little longer, and then you lengthen the legs and roll the pelvis to the floor. And then gradually add in that you look to that knee as it comes toward the head. And then come long again on the floor, and the back is more or less along a line. And as you build it up, bend in the middle of yourself a little bit so that you think about bringing the nose or the chin or something a little bit toward the knee as it comes up alongside. So the head and neck and chest bend a little bit to come toward the knee as the knee comes toward the head and face. You're looking under that right arm. Maybe you have to let something happen in the left shoulder so that there's a little space there, that the elbow can move on that side. Then you come long again in between. The head's to the right, and as you go, drop the right knee, you bend through the back and bring the nose a little closer to that knee, as if you wanted to bring the face toward the knee as much as you brought the knee toward the face. Of course, it doesn't go that much for most of us, but I think that you really bring the head toward the knee too, to look at it under that arm. It stays more or less on the floor, and see what you need to do in the shoulder girdle to accommodate this movement. And let the leg come long and rest however you like on your front or back. And come to your front again, and with the legs long, stand the two hands, the two forearms, that is. And now, listen for a sec, you turn your head to the right, and as you draw up the right knee, let the left knee slip in behind it as you draw the knee up. So now both knees bend, and the left knee sneaks in behind the right knee, and both knees come toward the nose. And you still bend the neck, the back, the low back, the rounds, and then you take yourself back down to the floor so both legs are long. You just leave the toenails in contact with the floor so you're not inclined to push there. So the feet are long, the top of the foot's on the floor, and then draw up both knees with the left knee slipping in behind the right. You see what you need to do in your left shoulder to accommodate this. Maybe you need to let the forearm move or something like that, but both hands stay in contact with the floor on either side of the trunk there. Note how this is different. Maybe it requires something different in the pelvis and the back. You look under your right arm toward those knees as they come toward the nose, and you bring the nose toward the knees as the knees come up. All right, then pause long again for a moment. Rest how you like. If this is comfortable, great. Otherwise, find a comfortable position, perhaps with the knee drawn up or the head some way, so that you can pause here. All right, and then come once again to this configuration, the legs long, the head turned to the right, the two palms and fingers, the hands on the floor, the elbows toward the ceiling, and this time, as you draw the right knee up, take it a little bit away from the floor so the left one can slide in underneath it. And they're stacked as you bring the knees up toward the nose and the nose toward the knees. And then as you go back down, slip it out so that the pelvis comes to the floor, both legs come to the floor on the front. And then take up the movement again. You turn the hips to stack the knees and bring the knees toward the nose as the nose comes toward the knees. Or maybe for you it's a sense of the chin coming, or the forehead. And then you come back down to the front. Note what you do in the whole of your back, folding in the middle perhaps, so the back becomes longer in the low part of the back and as the front shortens. What happens in the shoulder girdle is you bring the head toward the knees a little bit. Where do you initiate the movement? And can you keep your breathing relatively continuous here? So that you don't strain, you can make the movement slower. That's the quality that we're after, the clarity of it. Then pause on your front or however you're pausing. Now come back to this position with the hands to the floor and the elbows toward the ceiling. And This time, as you draw up the right knee, slide the left even a little more through in front of you so that the right knee can tuck in behind the left knee as you draw the knees up toward the chin. So the left leg slides between the right one and the floor, and the right knee comes to rest on the floor again behind it, and you draw both knees up, and then you come back long and unfold as you come to the front. So you see if there's a way that you can really fold in the middle of yourself in order to take up this action. So it's less pulling the legs than turning the hips and shaping the back to bring the head toward the knees and the knees toward the head. And then a reversing of that action to come long on the floor again on your front. And you sort out what you need to do with that left shoulder. All right, then leave it and rest on your back. Come to the front again and bring the hands by the shoulders and stand the forearms, turn the head to the right, and take up this action that we were just taking up, whereas the right knee comes up, the left one slips between it and the floor, and the right knee tucks behind the left, and you bring the knees toward the nose and the nose toward the knees and back, and you return to the front each time, and then sort out how it's possible. If you wanted to increase the size of that movement, you could start to lengthen the arms as after the knees have started up. Same general motion here, and as the knees come up, you can begin to push with the hands and lift the head and shoulders away from the floor, so that you could slide the right left knee behind the two hands a little bit. You'd come to sitting to do that. So it's an extension of the movement. And then you reverse it and come down. So you pivot the hips so that the left knee goes to the left, and then you can return, come back down. So swivel on the outside of that left hip to draw the knees up, and then unswivel to come back down to the front. You see if it's possible to, or the way it's possible to, as you come up, really pivot on that left hip so you could take the left knee maybe even behind the left hand on the floor when you come up to sit. Or you just see how far it goes. All right, and then pause on the front a minute. Now you think this through, if you were to take up that same action and make it a little more quick, perhaps a little larger, you can pivot on the hip there, and as the legs come up, you can lift the right hand and just extend the legs to the front. So when you're ready, give that a shot. So it's an extension of the movement you were just doing. Wherever your head is pointing while you're lying down, your feet will point there when you're up. You swing the legs through, lift that right hand, just extend the legs on the floor. And then reverse it, so you come back down. The same movement we have been doing. It starts up, drawing the knees up, taking the chin toward the knees, and then you sit and swing the legs through behind the hands so the hands don't change their position on the floor, though you might lift one. And then you reverse it. You can pick up that right hand if you like. And so if you start on your front, note where your hands are. They're going to stay more or less there, although you can lift the right one. You'll put it back down roughly where it is. And draw the knees up to the right, swing them through, and stick the legs out to the front. You can come, now the hands are on either side of the legs. Then you reverse it, lifting the right hand if you need to, come back down to the floor. Okay, rest on your back. So we'll take up this sequence on the other side in a moment, and gives you another opportunity to perhaps discover differences on the side, or maybe take what you learned on this side and use it when we start moving from the left or to the left, so that you can make it a little simpler for yourself or a little bit easier. Maybe the sequence of understanding the movements can come a little bit more easily, simply, by transferring what you've learned on this side to the other side, using what you've learned on the other side to the next side. So come once again to your front. Place the hands outside the shoulders. Stand the forearms. Turn your head to the left, and now start by simply just drawing that left leg, left knee up to the side just a little bit and returning it, not all the way at first. So note how turning the pelvis is part of this. You know what happens in the low back, whether it extends or flexes. And just this, just drawing up the left knee to start with. We'll develop it as we go. And then you add in, maybe bring it a little farther so that the nose can come toward the knee can come toward the nose, so that the back bends there. You fold to bring those two closer to each other. The right leg stays long on the floor at this point. Just drawing up the left. And then pause for a moment. And when you take it up again, tuck the right knee in behind the left. So both knees are on the floor and the right knee is tucked behind the left. And you sort out what you need to do with your right shoulder. Maybe the elbow rolls a little toward the floor, or you make some adjustment there and you fold in the middle to draw the two knees up. Take the face toward the knees and the knees toward the face. See already, is this different than the other side? In what ways is it similar? Is there something that, having done the movement on to the other side, you can do more simply now? Or is there something that's more challenging on this side, perhaps? Or maybe it just is different in some way, how you start, what you leave in, what you leave out. And then pause on the front, if that's comfortable. Make an adjustment. If not, all right, now take the action up again, and this time let the right knee come between the left knee and the floor so that they're stacked one on top of the other as you draw the knees up. And you can start with a small movement and come partway and go back. Or you can start more full and come a little down and then back up immediately. You can explore parts of the range, in other words, not just the whole movement. The back hips turn and the back rounds to draw the knees up. The head bends toward the knees as the knees slide on the floor and come up toward the head. Same as before. You just sort out the elements of this. And then take the right knee a little farther through so that the left knee can sneak in behind the right leg. So you roll a little more, let that right knee come between, and then more forward so that the left knee is behind the right knee. And then you reverse it and come long to your front. You can sort that out. You can explore again parts of that range, come up a little bit and then go back. Sort out how you really use the middle of yourself to take up this action, drawing the knees mostly in the direction of the head, and the head bends toward the knees a little bit. This big action of the pelvis and the trunk to move the head and the legs. That's multidimensional. There's a turning of the pelvis, there's a action in the back. All right, and then rest on your front if that's comfortable, otherwise however you like. And think it through for yourself for a moment, but when you return to this, you'll draw the knees up in this way so that the right is tucked behind the left, and then, I'm sorry, the left is tucked behind the right, and you'll sit up and extend the arms, take the head away from the floor so that you can pivot the knees behind both hands. When you're ready to try it out, try it out. So you start on the front. Take up that movement we were just doing. Lay on the front with the face to the left. Draw the knees up. Let the right one come through. And then pivot enough so that the right knee swings behind the right hand, as we did on the other side. So start on the front. Turn the face to the left. Draw the knees up to the left. And pivot so that the right knee comes behind the right hand, more or less. Pivot the whole bottom of yourself there. And then reverse it and come down to the floor. And when you're ready to try it, swing a little more strongly so that if you lift the left hand, you can just, once you're up, you can extend the legs in the front and sit with the legs pointing where your head now is. So you sort of throw the legs through underneath and to extend them to the front. You can set that hand down again, then you reverse it, likely lifting the hand and coming all the way down to the front. And you sort out how it is on this side compared to the other side. and what you can improve by way of making the breathing continuous, making the effort lower, taking out anything extra. Really using the turning of the hips and the bending of the trunk to bring the knees up so that you can just take them through, extend them to what's now the front once you've sat up. Can you see about it, if you can reverse it smoothly? And next time you're on down extended, rest on your back. Note the quality of breathing. Where you move during the inhalation, the exhalation. During our training, Dennis Leary, who was our educational director, related that he visited a training in France, and the previous trainer who had been there before him had done very introspective, slow-moving lessons, and when he got to this one, they were surprised. They named him Denis the Sadiste. All right, come once again to the front. And now, starting on whichever side you want, bend the knees up to the side and bring one behind the other so that you can throw the legs to the front. And then come back down. And when you come back down, just immediately roll through to the other side. And bring the legs up on that side. So you sit up using the hands and toss the legs through to in the direction of the head. And then you reverse it. Come back down. Once you're down, as the hips roll to the floor, keep rolling them to the other side. Draw the knees up there. So you see about leaving the knees more or less on the floor until you're ready to kick them through. And you go from side to side this way. You can lift that one hand, of course, to get it out of the way for the knees and legs coming through. Roll the pelvis and flex through the trunk to take the legs forward and back, just as we have been. And roll right on through to the other side and twist to extend the legs to the front. And see if you can make what you know about one side help with the maybe somewhere you'd like to make it smoother or easier on the other. And then, if you are welcome to do a few more if you like, but when you're ready to leave it and rest on the back. All right, here as we near the end of the lesson, come once more to your front and do a somewhat smaller movement, but you come to the front and put the hands on either side of the shoulders and turn the head to the right. And draw the knees up so that the one tucks behind the other, as we have been. That is, that the left one sneaks through a little bit and the right tucks behind. And then sit up and just extend the left leg between the two hands when you come up. Just pivot enough so that you can just extend that left leg through the two hands and then reverse it. So you take the left leg out from between the two hands and come back down to your front. So the left leg comes between the hands, and then you take it out and come back down to the front. And next time you're on your front, just switch sides so that you turn the head to the left and draw up the knees to the left with the right leg, right knee coming first. Pivot the hips so that the knee really swings through and extend the right leg between the two hands. So the hands stay more or less where they were. And you reverse it and come back down to your front, taking the leg out. Pivoting the hips, folding the back, twisting, come back down to the front. And then pause however you like for a moment. And then come to sit and fold the right leg so that the heel is near the right hip and the inside of the right knee is to the floor and the left leg is long, as we did at the beginning. Place the hands so that one's on one side of the left leg and one's on the other. Right leg's folded so the inside of the knee's on the floor and the toe side of the foot is to the floor. And then, just using what you've learned so far, take the foot out from between the two hands and extend it to the outside of the right hand. And reverse it and bring the hand, the leg between. So the movement we did at the beginning with the left leg long and the right leg folded, hands on either side of the leg, yep. Take the left leg through the two hands and extend it to the right side of the right hand. Maybe you have to do something with the hand. Just make it easy, don't make it difficult. If you have to adjust something with the hand or the turning or the position of the legs, just do so. That's important here. Just compare it to the way it was at the beginning. And switch sides. Take the right leg long and the left leg folded back and put your two hands on either side of that extended right leg and draw the knee, the foot back between the hands and extend it to the outside of the left hand. And see, how does this compare to the beginning of the lesson? Maybe you can really leave the hands on the floor now. You can make some other adjustment. Let's try it a few more times. Using the hips, the back, the turning on that right hip. And then rest on your back. Note your contact with the floor. And reflect if the what followed in the lesson clarified that earlier movements. Perhaps in keeping with the theme in Awareness Through Movement that bringing more of yourself into an action is something that we're specifically looking at. I know what the quality of breathing is like. Sense of length on the right and left sides. How the head rests on the floor, the two sides of the pelvis and of the rib cage, the angles of the two feet are like, how the heels rest against the floor. And when you're ready to do so, find your way to standing, taking your time about it, pausing wherever you like. Once you get to standing, pause there. Your feet under the hips under the rib cage under the shoulders and head. Get a sense of the direction of your gaze is up and down relative to the horizon, what the two sides are like, how the shoulders are carried, where the hips are relative to the feet. And take a little walk around. Note how your weight is carried through each leg, from the hip joint to the floor. The quality of the movements of the chest are like as you walk. Turn a little bit, take a few steps back perhaps. We'll call it a lesson. Thank you, everyone.
A lesson. I think you did this.
Yes, yeah. It's AY377.
Isn't this the last one you did with us last year? I mean, in the... whenever...